precious his word is. Father, I thank you for the power of the word of God. Thank you, Lord, that every promise has within it the resources that are required for it to be fulfilled. Because, Lord, not one of your words will ever fall to the ground, but it will return. It will not return to your void, but it will accomplish that for which it was sent. So thank you, Lord. We've seen your faithfulness so many times, and we know that you are faithful to the end. Amen. Praise God. At the beginning of the month, Daniel asked Andrew and I just to do a quick talk of encouragement, just a minute or two, for him to put on the internet. And I'd been looking that morning at Psalm 94, and it so blessed me. I thought, there's a lot more in here that we haven't got out of it. So I just wanted to, on Friday, I had some quiet time, and it was good just to focus on Psalm 94. So I'm actually going from the Message translation because it puts a completely different light on what God is saying, or it takes it from another angle. We can get so familiar and just say something rabbit passion and forget what the actual text is saying, what God is wanting to get across to us. And I say it every time, but when you read a different version, then suddenly the light comes on and you think, I've not seen that before. This is what God wants to get across. So I'm going to read the first 11 verses. These 11 verses are, to me, David ranting at God over the world's evil ways. He's not impressed with the world and everything that's wrong with it. And he's saying to God, God, put an end to evil. Avenging God, show your colours. Judge of the earth, take his stand. Throw the book at the arrogant. God, the wicked get away with murder. How long will you let this go on? They brag and they boast and they crow about their crimes. They walk all over your people, God. They exploit and abuse your precious people. They take out anyone who gets in their way. If they can't use them, they'll kill them. They think, God's not looking. God's out to lunch. Well, think again, you idiots. You fools. How long before you get smart? Do you think the ear maker doesn't hear? Do you think the eye shaper doesn't see? Do you think that the trainer of nations doesn't correct? The teacher of Adam doesn't know? God knows all right. He knows your stupidity. And he sees your shallowness. Yeah, David's having a rant. Ever been there? Had a rant at God. And said, God, I'm just disgusted with what's going on. Things are not as they should be. They're not as you say they should be. So what's happening? David didn't stop there, because in verse 12 of that psalm through to verse 23 he records God's solution, and that is very, very powerful, because this is the answer to all that goes off in the world. This is what God tells his people to do. And in verse 12 David says, how blessed is the man that you train, God, and the woman that you instruct in your word. Verse 13, providing a circle of quiet within the clamour of evil, while a jail is being built for the wicked. There's the crux of this psalm. We have to, within the clamour of evil, build a circle of quiet. Now, where can you get to the quiet place? Ian knows how you get to the quiet place. You get in the Word of God. The secret place of the Most High is here. And that's where everything is quiet and you can shut off the clamour of evil. Now, the clamour of evil for you might be different to what the clamour of evil is for me. The devil knows just what to send across your path and how to get your attention and how to wind you up and how to really try and do damage. But he can't do damage if we won't let him. If we won't be drawn in, he can't do a thing about it. But if we don't get drawn in, he's defeated. Uh-oh. So the secret is to get into that quiet place while the clamour of evil is going on all around you. I don't know what your clamour of evil is. It might be sickness. It might be family issues. It might be pressures of work. It might be financial issues. We all have different clamours. All evil is clamouring at all of us in a different way. But let me tell you that the Word of God has the answer to every evil the devil would try and draw you into. The devil's like a snake. Well, he is a snake. And the snake, when it's charmed, it starts to rise up, doesn't it? And they say that if it gets, it focuses on its prey and it mesmerizes its prey, so much so that the prey walks straight into its mouth. Wow, what power that snake has. And he tries to do the same with you. He'll rise up and he'll show you the impossibility of your situation. He'll say, this is impossible, this will never work, it cannot happen. And he gets you looking at what's going on around you. That is the very time to stop yourself and say, I am not looking at what's not happening. I am not looking at what all the negative stuff that is happening. I will look at the Word of God, because that's the truth, and it's the truth that sets me free. But you know, we've got to know what God has said. If where you're at, you are running around like a headless chicken and you're drawn into the devil's plot, you need to stop yourself. You need to get into the Word of God and you need to say, God, I need a word from you. One word from God will settle you down and it put the devil to flight and it will stop his plot. But you've got to have the Word of God. It's no good. Anything else will not work. It has to be the Word of God. And David says, you need to enter his rest and you need to watch him work. When we rest, he works. When we work, he rests. Have we got it? That's how it works. You work, he rests. He works, you rest. And the best way is, let him work, because he sees the big picture and he knows just how to stop the devil. No matter how impossible it looks, he will do it. Ken spoke last week on the fruit of the Spirit. Joy, peace, patience, all these are powerful resources for all of us. Nehemiah, he knew, the joy of the Lord is my strength. If anybody had a great opposition, Nehemiah had great opposition. But what happened? You know, sometimes he lost it. He hit his enemies with the Word of God when they said to him, this will never happen. This is a joke. Is it, if a fox runs on this wall, it'll fall down. It's such a weak effort. And he said, my God will stop you. My God will do what he said he will do. He was adamant. He was confident in his God. And he hit the enemy with the Word of God. And he defeated him. And sometimes Nehemiah lost it. Sometimes he went and belted his enemies. Sometimes he went and pulled the beards out. He got so angry and frustrated with them. But that didn't knock God off his throne, did it? You know, we might lose it. But hey, we might have lost a skirmish, but we won't lose the war. Let's get back into hiding in him and resting in his presence while a jail is being built for the wicked. When I was thinking about that, while the jail is being built for the wicked, Esther came to mind. You know, Mordecai was a man of God, a righteous man. He had a plan and he had a heart for God's people to see them released and out of captivity. But wicked Haman hated him, absolutely hated him. And he decided he was going to take Mordecai out. Well, what did Mordecai do? He didn't get upset. He just stood his ground and he remained calm. And what happened? Well, God made an absolute fool of Haman. He made him look a prize idiot, times many. He fell into his own trap every time he set Mordecai up, but he didn't learn, because in the end, he built a scaffold for Mordecai. But who got hung on it? Haman got hung on his own gallows. And it's quite biblical that the one who sets a trap for you will fall into it himself. It's quite scriptural. God will always have the last word. He will always see your enemy defeated if you will rest and watch him work. I was thinking of Abigail. I've just got a soft spot for that girl. And I spoke on her some months ago. I think it was probably last year. But David was about to take revenge on Abigail's husband, Nabal, because he'd been very good to Nabal, and he had Nabal's shepherds had brought the sheep and they'd come alongside where David was camped. And so David took the responsibility for protecting Nabal's sheep, and he was very good to Nabal. And it came to a point where at harvest time they were having a great feast because they'd got the harvest, it had been plentiful, they were very wealthy. And so they threw a feast for all the workers. And so David said to his men, go and ask Nabal if you can join in this celebration. You deserve it. You've worked hard for him. You've blessed him. You've taken care of his sheep. So they went and they asked if they could get into the celebrations with them. And Nabal says, no, you can't. You're not coming in here. So they went back and told David. And David was a warrior. He didn't take these things sitting down, you know. He got angry and he said, I'm going to get that man. I am going to kill him because he has no appreciation for what I've done for him. His pride was hurt. He was going to take it into his own hands to sort Nabal out because that's what he used to do. Well, as he was well on his way, God spoke to Abigail, and she was a woman of wisdom, and she met David on the way and she said three things to him. First thing she said, stop it. She said, don't you dwell on what that brute Nabal says. She said, foolishness oozes from him. So often it's the idiots that wind us up, the foolish people the devil sends across our path. And we're the foolish ones when we take notice of what they say. It's what God says. The second, you know, dwelling on something, a wrong, intensifies its power to harm you, nobody else. So if somebody's hurt you, don't be a fool and focus on it. Let it go, because it will harm you, and in the end it will destroy you if you don't let go of it. She said to David, don't seek revenge, you will regret it. She said, the guilt of murder will never leave you. She was a wise woman. And the third thing she said to him, God fights your battles. And we know that God did fight Abigail's battle and David's battle. Because when Abigail told Nabal next morning after he'd sobered up, she told him what had happened and what she'd done. And at that point, Nabal had a heart attack and died. God dealt with him. God deals with our enemies. God fights our battles. And at the end of that one, David said, Blessed be God who stood up for me against Nabal's insults. He kept me from an evil act, and he let Nabal's evil boomerang back on him. If you want to see victory and the evil boomeranging back on the devil, let God fight your battles. Get into the quiet place, even while the evil is clamoring all around you. You know, it talks in the Word of God about fighting the fight of faith. It's not the most natural thing to fight the fight of faith. It's a fight to get to that point where you know that you know that you know that God's on your side, that you can't lose, and the devil's lost it. But we have to fight to get that faith to stand. In verse 16, well, actually in verse 14, it says, God will never walk away from his people. He will never desert his precious people. Rest assured that justice is on its way, with every good heart put right. And in verse 16 to 19, he said, who stood up for me against the wicked? Who took my side against evil workers? If God hadn't been there for me, I never would have made it. The minute I said, I'm slipping, I'm falling, your love, God, took hold of me and held me fast. When I was upset and beside myself, you calmed me down and you cheered me up. Sometimes it's really tough and we find ourselves falling. We find ourselves getting upset and beside ourselves. And that's the very time we need to go back into the Word of God and reinforce what God has said to us until we can come out shouting. You know when your peace has left, because you're getting all irritated and you're getting stressed and your focus is all wrong. And that's when we need to jump back into that circle of quiet, because if you don't have peace, you know that you've jumped out of the circle. Well, get back in the circle, because God is waiting to work for you. I have to laugh at Psalm 90 in the message. Sorry, not Psalm 40, sorry, in the message. Because David obviously sensed that God's timing's not his timing. And the first verse of Psalm 40 in the message says, I waited and waited and waited for God. At last he looked. Finally, he listened. You know, we're not on our own. Even the men, the powerful men of God, men after God's own heart. That's what God said about David. He's a man after my own heart. But even he struggled with God's timing. I waited. I waited. I waited. Patiently, I waited, and finally, yeah, that's how it is sometimes. But let me assure you, the finally will come. So don't doubt it. Finally will come. You will have, God will have the last say. So when you get upset, when you get stressed, and when you need cheering up, get in here. Go back to what God said, and build your spirit. And put the devil out. Verse 20 and 21. Can misrule have anything in common with you? Can troublemaker pretend to be on your side? They ganged up on good people. They plotted behind the backs of the innocent. But God became my hideout. God was my high mountain retreat. There's our responsibility, to make a hideout in God, to get up the mountain with God. That's our responsibility. And when we get up there, then God will fulfill his responsibility. And that is in verse 23. When I got to the high mountain, when I made God my hideout, when I fulfilled my responsibility, then boomeranged their evil back on them. For their evil ways, he wiped them out. God cleaned them out for good. Woo! Amen. Can I have a shout of victory? Amen. Our God cleaned them out for good. That's his responsibility. Once you've fulfilled your responsibility, he will take his and fulfill it to the letter. God wants us, it's essential that we are not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And James talks very much about that. Don't just let it go in at one ear and out the other. And you say, yes, I agree with that. Because you will be put to the test. I think every time I've preached the following week, I've been put to the test. And God says, I don't want to just hear it, Grace. I want to know you're doing it. We have to do. Practice what we preach. Amen. So, I want to finish with Psalm 93. Again, from the Message. Psalm 93. God is king, robed and ruling. God is robed and he's surging with strength. And yes, the world is firm. It's immovable. Your throne is forever firm because you're eternal. Sea storms are up, God. Sea storms wild and roaring. Sea storms and thunderous breakers. Stronger than wild sea storms, mightier than sea storm breakers, mighty God rules from heaven. What you say, God, goes. It always has. I love that. What you say, God, goes. It always has. Beauty and holiness mark your palace rule. God, to the very end of time. Hey, run into that circle of quiet within the clamour of evil. Not always easy. If your body's screaming sickness and disease, the hardest thing is to get into that circle of quiet. But if we will do it, the rewards are just immense. When you receive God's rewards, there is no other way to live. He is our great reward, and he has the best reward for us. And his reward, his actions are permanent, and he's a God who keeps his promises. Amen. Praise God.